if you brought your Bible. I know you kids didn't bring one to the front. If you did, that's okay. Psalms 127, and a familiar passage we've been in before. But I'll say a few words from it again tonight, but a little bit different than what we've talked about before from a different perspective on this. Psalms 127. I want to thank Mrs. Payne for, she thanked Mrs. Nelson, Zanetta Nelson, for subbing for those weeks. But I want to thank Glenda for working through a lot of physical discomfort this year. She's a fine teacher, does a great job every year with these young people. And I appreciate her coming in and being here when she didn't feel good, and as long as she could, and then coming back to help us finish the year as well. It was a blessing to have her as much as she could this year. Alrighty? Psalms 127, verse number 4. We're talking about children here. In verse number 3, lo, children are an heritage of the Lord. The fruit of the womb is His reward. Verse 4, as arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are children of the youth. The Bible says in verse 4, as arrows, so are children. As arrows, so are children. So that means the Bible compares you, young people, to an arrow. Okay, we're going to be talking about arrows tonight. Okay, that's all right. Not a problem. We're going to be talking about arrows tonight, and this is what the Bible says. I don't need you to be a bow. I don't need you to do that. I need you to put your hands in your lap and sit this way and look right up here, okay? And this is all we're going to talk about tonight. Children are as arrows, okay? Let's pray together. Thank you, Lord, for these young people. Thank you for our time tonight in the service. I pray, God, that even in the very youngest mind and heart in this room, that the Holy Spirit would take this truth and drive it home. Thank you for the testimony that I heard from one mother before church tonight about how preaching made an impact on her son, and something that was revealed recently, and I thank you for that. God, I trust you to make an impact on the hearts and lives of these young people. Thank you for their families. Thank you for all the moms and dads and parents represented here tonight. I pray that you'll bless this time in your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, you've heard me talk about hunting a lot from the pulpit. Years ago, I started hunting with a gun and enjoyed that, but for the last 20 years, I have learned to hunt with arrows. And, of course, you need a bow to hunt with an arrow. And the bow shoots the arrow. There's all kinds of bows that launch arrows. There's long bows. There's compound bows. There's cross bows. And all kinds of bows that will shoot an arrow. Now, the Bible says that as arrows, so are children. So the Bible compares you to an arrow. That means that there are some lessons we can learn from arrows about children and about childhood. Because the Bible says that you are like an arrow. Okay? Now I want to say three or four things to you tonight about arrows and children, and then we'll be gone and ready to go home. Number one, I want to say this. Arrows are made. Arrows are made. Now this is a wooden arrow. I wish I could remember who gave this to me. Somebody brought this to me from Yellowstone Park out west. And I forget who it was, and I'm sorry if you're in the room. I just can't remember who it was. It might have been Jason Lowe. But somebody brought me this arrow, and this is different than the arrows I have at my house because the arrows at my house are made out of carbon. This is made out of wood. Arrows are made. Now, you cannot just walk into the woods and find a stick that is ready to be used as an arrow. You couldn't shoot that. It wouldn't do you any good. First place, you couldn't put it on the bow. You couldn't put it on the string. And if you could cut a little notch in the end here and put it on the string and you tried to launch it, it wouldn't go anywhere. And this is what people use. You just can't go into the woods and pick up a stick and use it as an arrow. Arrows start like this. They end up like this. They have to be carved and they have to be polished from reeds or woods. Wood. Arrows are not found in perfect form. This is a perfectly formed arrow. But they're not found in this condition. They're found in this kind of condition. And arrows require someone to work on them until they are in a condition where they can be used. It takes a lot of hours. It takes a lot of love. It takes a lot of concern. It takes a lot of time. It takes a lot of involvement to make this out of this. A craftsman would have to take this stick and with very careful hands work on it for hours until it was ready to be used as an arrow. Now listen, when you come into this world, this is what you are like. You're in this kind of condition. Everybody that comes into the world is in this kind of condition. And even after you get saved, when you get saved, you just don't automatically become like this. Even after you get saved, it takes someone to work on you to get you in the proper shape to make you in the type of arrow that can fly straight. And that process takes many years. If you want to fly straight, you must be made straight. Bent arrows don't fly straight. I've got a couple of bent arrows in my garage. And you can always tell when you're shooting a bent arrow. In fact, some years ago, I was out doing target practice in my backyard with my bow and my arrows, and I had the target set up. I was probably shooting at 20 yards. And I shot an arrow into the target, and it hit the target in a pretty good spot. Not dead bullseye, but a pretty good spot, right where I was aiming, pretty much where I was aiming. And I was happy with the shot. I pulled another arrow out, put it on the bowstring, pulled it back, aimed at the exact same spot that I had shot the first arrow. And when I released it and it flew down there and hit, I thought, man, that looks funny. What happened? And so I put my bow down and I walked down to the target where I'd shot those two arrows. And here, the second arrow, we'll pretend this is an arrow. The first arrow stuck in the target. The second arrow stuck into the back of the first arrow. Right in the back of it. Now, do you know what that's called? Luck. That's called luck. That's all that is. Actually, there's a term. They call that Robin Hooding. If you shoot one arrow into the back of another arrow, you're supposed to be as accurate as Robin Hood. Of course, Robin Hood never lived. But anyway, that's what they call it. And so I was pretty excited. I realized it was luck. I didn't aim for the back of the arrow. But that's where it went. And I kept it for many years, and I would show it to some guys. Well, look what I did, man. You know, but the truth of the matter is, even though I was excited I did it, it ruined both arrows. It bent the arrow that was already in the target, and it bent the arrow that went in the target. So now I got two bent arrows, and they're not cheap. They're pretty expensive. And so here I am, and I wonder if this is bent. I wonder if it's bent, and you take an arrow, and you put it on something level. This can't do it because this has got a little lip. And you put it on there, and you roll it, and a bent arrow will go whoop, 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 whoop. Bent. You can't use a bent arrow if you want to shoot straight. It doesn't happen. Now listen very carefully. There are many people involved in your life in the process of making you straight. This is how you came into the world, and hopefully by the time you're the age of these young people who are graduating tomorrow night or Friday night, hopefully you're going to be looking like this. But it takes a lot of time. And it takes a lot of people. It takes your parents, your dad and your mom. It takes your pastors at the church. It takes your teachers in the school. It takes other individuals that God puts into your life who help make you straight. Now, kids, listen, you're not very smart if you don't work with the people who are trying to work with you. The people that God has put in your life are trying to work with you, and they're trying to take you from looking like this to looking like this. So the best thing you can do is cooperate with them. And all these people, the truth of the matter is, if you resist the work that the people God has put in your life, if you resist the work that they're trying to do in your life, do you know who you are really resisting? You're really resisting God. Because you didn't choose your parents. God gave you your parents. And you don't choose your teachers, and you don't choose your pastors. Your parents put you in those situations where those people are involved in your life. And the truth of the matter is, it's God who is working through them on you and in you to try to help you go from looking like a bent stick, a crooked stick, to something like this. Now, there are some things that they've got to do to help you. There's some things that they've got to do to help you. There's some things that you've got to be taught. First of all, they have to teach you how to work. They have to teach you how to work. So when mom and dad have chores for you around the house, when mom and dad make you consistently make your bed, pick up your dirty clothes, empty the trash, maybe some of you even vacuum, maybe some of you girls even help with the dishes around the kitchen, maybe some of you girls help mom and sorting laundry and everything, maybe dad has you helping out in the yard, picking up sticks and picking up grass, and it's just work, I want you to do this, I want you to do that. Mom and dad have got to teach you how to work. When it comes to work, you come into the world like this. But you don't want to stay like this. You want to stay like this. By the way, I talked a lot to Brother Foote about Hurricane Katrina when I was down in Louisiana. He and his church were displaced for 3 weeks. They didn't have any power. They had no services. They didn't get together for 3 weeks. And so I was asking about Katrina. And he said, you know, and of course, the mess at the Superdome, right? It's a mess. And he said, you know, the funny thing, Brother Angel, is that Mayor Nagel, remember Ray Nagel? He was a mayor then. He's gone now. But he was on the radio. They played his announcement over and over and over and over again. Do not go to the Superdome. Do not go to the Superdome. We're not going to open the Superdome. Do not go to the Superdome. Do not go to the Superdome. We're not going to open the Superdome. And thousands of people went to the Superdome parking lot and just stayed there. And forced the government to open the Superdome. Listen to me very carefully. When the government brings you into this world, and the government does everything for you, when the government feeds you, when the government gives you a place to live, when the government does everything for you, and everything is done for you by the government, when it's time for an emergency, guess who they're going to look to? They're going to look to the government. That's exactly that. We don't want you to grow up looking like this when it comes to work. We want you to know how to work, how to fend for yourself, how to provide for a family someday, boys, if Jesus stays in heaven. And you young ladies, hopefully will marry a young man who looks like this when it comes to work, not like this. Your parents have got to teach you how to work. That means they got to work on you. Other people in your life have got to work on you, teaching you how to work. Say something else, they got to teach you. They got to teach you how to be honest. Because when you're born into this world, when it comes to honesty, that's what you look like. That's what I looked like when I was born into this world. Now, hopefully, by the time you get ready to graduate from high school like these seven young people on Friday night, hopefully when it comes to honesty, you look like this. You've been worked on, honed, taught how to be honest. But, hey, you'll never fly straight in life if you're dishonest. Won't happen. You'll never hit the mark if you're dishonest. So you got to learn to be honest. And that's one of the things that these people that God puts in your life works on you to teach you. Arrows are made. Arrows don't come like this. Arrows don't come like this. They come like this, and then they have to be made like this. So arrows have to be. You have to be taught how to work. You have to taught how to be honest. You have to be taught how to be unselfish. Unselfish. Selfishness amazes me sometimes. It amazes me. We're living in a generation. It's all about me. The Bible said that would be that way at the end of time. The Bible said there's a generation, how lofty are their eyelids. And it's all about me. It's all about me. Me, me, me. The me generation. That's how you come into this life. You never fly straight if you're selfish. So you got dad, you got mom, you got the people at church, you got people at school, you got grandparents, you got other folks. God has put in your life to work on you because arrows are made. You don't find an arrow like that out in the woods. You find sticks and then arrows are made from those sticks. So arrows are made. Let me say number two tonight about arrows. Arrows are kept in quivers. That's what arrows are kept in. A hunter will put, now there's all kinds of quivers. This is a quiver that sticks on my compound bow. But there's other quivers that slip over a person's back, and they put the arrow in the quivers. But that's called a quiver. The reason you keep an arrow in a quiver is because you don't want to drop it. If you drop it, you take a chance on bending it. You take a chance on breaking it. And so you keep it in the quiver until it's time to use it. And if you get out hunting somewhere with a bow and arrow, when you get all set, then the last thing you do is you take the arrow out of the quiver and you put it on the string and you get ready to hunt. But you keep the arrow in the quiver until you're ready to use it. That's a safe place for the arrow. Now, you're like an arrow. And God has given you a couple of safe places. First of all, He's given you your home. That's a safe place. Okay? Now, the devil will work very hard in your life. Maybe not now, but as you get older. He'll work very hard in your life to get you sideways with your dad and your mom. He's working on some young people that are about 6 or 8 years older than you folks right now to get them sideways with their parents. And some young people, very foolishly, at age 15, 16, and 17, get all messed up in their thinking and believe that they can leave home and make it in life. Run away and run over to somebody's house who will take them in and let me do what I want. Let me tell you something. If you ever go to somebody's house who will let you do what you want, you are making a huge mistake. Huge mistake. And they'll try to come across as your friend. How much they love you. But let me tell you something. If you ever run away from home, and I don't think any of you ever will do that, but if you ever do run away from home, you know what the best thing the person can do for you when you knock on their door, the best thing they can do for you is put you in the car and take you right back home. Home is where you belong. That's the quiver that God made for kids. And then God also has given you a church. Those are two very safe places. Grow up going to church. Of course, right now, your dad and mom are bringing you to church. But when you get to be a teenager, go on the activities. When there's things to do at church, show up. Don't just show up for Sunday school, church on Sunday. Get involved in as many things at the church as you possibly can get involved in, because the church is a safe place. Now, there's no perfect home. There's no perfect church. But they're quivers for arrows. They're quivers for young people. So you make sure that you work hard to keep a good attitude toward your mom and dad at home. And you work hard to make sure that you keep a good attitude toward folks at church. Because they are quivers. They are the church and the home and the church, are quivers for young people. So, number one, arrows are made. Number two, arrows are kept in quivers. Number three, arrows are launched. Now, you don't keep the arrow in the quiver. The day finally comes when you're going to use the arrow and you put it on the string and you pull it back and you release it. If the arrow is never released, it can't accomplish anything. But listen very carefully. This arrow cannot launch itself. This arrow can't take itself out of the quiver and put it on the string of anybody's bow. Can't do that. This arrow needs somebody to take it out of the quiver, knock it on the bow string, pull it back, and let it go. Now, listen to me very carefully. One of these days, you're going to be launched from your quiver. Friday night, seven young people will be launched from their quivers. Oh, they're not leaving home next week. But I think most of them, if not all of them, by the fall, will be leaving home and going away to school for the first time in their life. And hopefully, they'll all fly straight. And hopefully, when you get to that age, you'll fly. But listen very, very carefully. When you get launched, you need to understand that it takes somebody to launch you. You don't launch yourself. Somebody is involved in the process of sending you on your way in life. here's what I want to say to you right now. Don't ever forget those who helped launch you. Don't ever forget those who helped make you into an arrow, put you on the string, and sent you on your way. Don't ever forget them. Don't forget your dad. Don't forget your mom. Don't forget your grandparents. Don't forget your teachers. Don't forget the people at school, the youth directors, the people that were involved in making you who you are. Don't ever forget the people who put you on the string and launch you someday. Arrows cannot fly by themselves. They have to have the help of others to be launched. Unthankfulness is a horrible, horrible sin. Please don't be unthankful. Let me say number four tonight, that arrows are aimed at a target. When someone launches or gets ready to launch an arrow, they have a target at which they are aiming. It might be a target like this. It might be an animal that they're trying to kill. But there's a target that the arrow is launched at. Now, you see what's written in the middle of that circle right there? Y'all see that? Y'all see what's written in the middle of that circle right there? See that, girls? Y'all read that? Y'all read that? What's that say? God's will. God's will. That's the bullseye for your life. God's will. That's where we want the arrow to fly. When you're launched someday, after all those people, with the help of God Almighty and the Holy Spirit, and the shed blood of Jesus Christ, bring you to the place where you look like this, and you're launched from that bowstring, and you fly. We all want you, every one of you, to hit the bullseye of God's will for your life. That's what I want you to hit. Right there. Now listen very carefully. That won't be the same for everybody. For some of you, that might be a teacher. It was interesting, Brother Bragg, at the Kiwanis luncheon, how many of those kids said, "My plans are to go study for secondary or elementary education. I plan to be a teacher someday." Very interesting. So for some of you, it might be a teacher. For some of you, it might be a policeman. For some of you, it might be a preacher. For some of you, it might be a factory worker. For some of you ladies, it might just be a wife and a mommy, a housewife. So we don't know what this says specifically. We don't know if that says teacher, policeman, factory worker, computer programmer. We don't know what that says. But whatever it says, we want it to be God's will. And that's where we want you to hit. Pow. Right there in that bullseye. And can I tell you something? Right there, if you hit there, not only will your parents and your pastor and everybody be very happy, you will be very happy. You'll be very happy. Let me say this. The further away you get from God's will, the further away you get from God's will, the less joy you're going to have. Now, some people don't believe that. They have to learn it the hard way. I'm telling you the truth tonight. The happiest place for you. The best place for you. Pow. Right there in the center of God's will. I want to show you one more thing and we're done. We're shooting at this target with an arrow and we miss the target. The arrow's going to fly over to the right, or go low, or go high, or go left. It's going to hit a tree. It's going to hit grass. It's going to hit here and going to hit there. That's what happens when you miss the target with an arrow. But I want to show you what happens if you miss the target. You watching? Show what happens if you miss the target. Remember all those people we talked about that helped make you like this? Dad, mom, grandparents, teachers, pastors, workers, kids that miss the target have an uncanny way to turn around. Hit those people right in the heart. It makes the people who put all the time and effort into making you like this, it makes them heartbroken. You missed the target. Now nobody wants to do that. If you think I'm joking, if you think I'm being too excessive, talk to people. Because when you miss the target, you pierce the heart of those who loved you. So you let God, through your parents, through other people in your life, you let God make you from this to this. You stay in the quiver until you're launched. And when you're launched, you fly straight and you hit the target right in the bullseye. And everybody will praise God. Amen? That sounds true. Because children are like arrows. Let's bow our heads in prayer together. Thank you for listening, young people. God bless you. Lord, I love these young people. I thank you for them. All the kids in the church, not just those in the school. All of them. I pray that they'll give their hearts to you. Pray, God, that they will let folks work on them. Make them straight so that when they're launched, they hit the center of your will for their life. Bless them, I pray. Help them not to miss the target. Get off the mark. I pray in Jesus' name.